Salve Maria. The Sacred Heart of Jesus will be your safeguard and protector. A few days later, while still in Cambara, Donna Lucilia wrote her son again, having recovered sufficiently from a severe flare-up of her liver condition, during which she was lovingly tended by Donna Rosé. Plinio, along with his studies in law school, had assumed his place in the ranks, beginning his military service. Donna Lucilia fondly expresses her wish to see him in uniform. She asks about his studies and health, but avoids a topic that worried her so much in the preceding letter. She had placed her anxiety at the feet of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, confident that he would always protect the beloved son of her heart. Cambara, May 23, 1929. Beloved son, I miss you so much and so desire to have a little chat with you, and yet I have not written you 4 days, because a severe liver relapse kept me in bed for some days. Your little sister took care of me with a tenderness and dedication that did my soul good. My liver is still very swollen, and I feel run down, in part because of the prolonged and rigorous diet I am following. May 24th, 1929. I interrupted this yesterday because Rosé had 3 visitors until night time, and I have something most unusual to tell you. I went to the circus that is close to the house, where I watched half a show. I went there and back by car very slowly, and had some good laughs there. I am much better today, but still afraid of the return trip. The Sorocabana train jostlers and bucks so much that whether we like it or not, we feel like we are breaking in a wild horse. I sent you a long letter by registered mail in response to the one in which you tell me about the dinner at the commercial club, and as far as I can tell, you did not receive it, which really upsets me. What became of the most recent job offer? I am eager to see you in uniform and enthusiastic for the marches and counter-marches. Have you studied a lot? It has been 4 days since I received letters from there. Have you possibly come down with another sore throat? God forbid. I want to find you very strong and handsome. It pleased me greatly, immensely, to know that when you miss me, you pray before my little shrine. I also pray so much for you. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, our love, will be your safeguard and protector, beloved son of my heart. I expect to go with Tony on Monday, but would be grateful if he would decide to go on Wednesday, so my liver can shape up a bit more before embarking again. Urgently send us news of Gabriel. How is your grandmother? I wrote to her 3 days ago and to Zilly, who answered me. Warmly hug our Frau from me and tell her that I am returning with Popadinchen. A hugged grandma. Receive with my blessing many, many kisses from your devoted mama, who misses you very much. Lucilia. I insist that you come as soon as possible. After returning to Sao Paulo, Donna Lucilia did not stay long in the capital, for in July she went with Donna Gabriela to Santos, remaining there until the end of the month. Her unpretentiousness and her desire to do good and to be with her son are a constant in her letters. Santos, July 16, 1929. Beloved son, your Aunt Zilly should have given you a letter from me yesterday, but forgot to do so because of the hurry she was in while there and her concern about the matter of the house. I insist on your coming here as soon as possible because we should be returning on the 30th, God willing, and now is a good time for you to have a rest and a change of climate, and in my company, which is more difficult. You need not wait until the young lady takes over the job, because you have no such commitment to keep, and even if your presence were needed, you would be called by telephone. Come right away, Your father should be arriving there early tomorrow and coming in the afternoon. Your devoted mama kisses you and blesses you. Lucilia. Greetings to Frau and everyone at home. Plinio's absorbing law studies kept him from traveling immediately when his letters became scarce, either due to the little time at his disposal or because the mail service failed. Donna Lucilia complained of not receiving news. In words filled with tenderness, he defends himself from his mother's unfounded grievance. The slightly facetious missive shows that Dr. Plinio's traditional and elevated way of treating her could be spiced with a little humor. My dearest little love, today I received a letter with many saudades, but this intense feeling was overridden by another, that of resentment. Is it possible, my Xenia, that you think I do not miss you for the simple fact that I wrote a letter that was neither received nor answered? Is it possible that you think that if I do not write any more, it is because I am too busy amusing myself? It is good, my love, to take into consideration the fact that I have been doing nothing but studying, and that to my studies, which were already very absorbing, I have to rise at 6 even on Sundays to study and to obtain the good grades that please you so much. Have now been added a philosophy course greatly intensified for the Federal Supreme Court, along with a vast amount of international literature. Having said more than enough, I think not only to neutralize your opinion of me, but also to bring you back to a converse way of thinking. I would like to know about your health, and especially how your Figadorio is doing now that we have taken care of your unjustly wounded heart. How is Grandma? The house without you ladies is as sad as a tomb, and only Rosé redeems the situation. When are you ladies returning? The relations you have arranged for me no longer leave me any leisure. It goes without saying that this letter is for Grandma and you, because you are both on an equal footing in my heart. I hug and kiss both of you with effusive tenderness and request the blessing of both. Plinio. Plinio's desire to allay Donna Lucilia's longings during this extended absences surfaces in his correspondence as he details his day-to-day affairs, which were becoming increasingly absorbed by his studies as well as his apostolate in the Marian congregation. A debt of gratitude. From 1928 onward, Plinio fully devoted himself to the activities of the Catholic movement. In 1929, he founded Catholic University Action, AUC, which united Catholic students from several institutions of higher learning. With this, Donna Lucilia accepted the sacrifice of something ineffably precious to her, a good part of her son's company. Over the following years, as his activities increased, the result was more frequent separations. Nevertheless, an interesting exchange of letters between mother and son in July of 1930 clearly shows that the scarcity of personal contact only served to augment their mutual tenderness. During this month, Plinio had traveled to Rio by car with Monsignor Pedrosa to meet Catholic leaders in the federal capital. From there, he wrote 2 affectionate letters to Donna Lucilia. In the first, dated the 15th, he narrates details of the trip from São Paulo to Rio. Stopping at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Aparecida, he prayed for his mother and lit a votive candle for Donna Gabriela, whose health was unstable due to her advanced age, as well as for the other members of the family. Besides describing his visits to relatives and acquaintances, Plinio praises the exceptional treatment of Monsignor Pedrosa in his regard. He laments just one thing, the absence of his dearest Maizinha. He writes, "The numerous pleasures that God has granted me on this trip are constantly accompanied by the displeasure of being deprived of your company, which would allow me to enjoy them more." Further on, he reaffirms, "As I have said, The only thing tarnishing my joy is my longing for my dear Myzenia. Otherwise, my joy is complete. This is a delight. Donna Lucilia must have anxiously awaited word from her son, since from the perspective of an older generation, any long trip was replete with dangers and surprises. Immediately upon receiving his long-awaited letter, she responded to it. From the very first line, it rings clear with the sentiments of gratitude that characterize noble souls. Sao Paulo, July 17, 1930. Beloved son of my heart, with what pleasure, with what satisfaction, I read and reread your so eagerly awaited letter. Filled with thankfulness, I have already thanked God with a prayer for the good news that it brought. Really, I do not know how to thank our good Monsignor for all the kindness and attention that he has shown you, and I hope in God, my son, that we will know how to prove our gratefulness to him for everything he has done for us. See if you can be of some assistance and lose no opportunity to show your gratitude and affection to him. I thank you immensely for the prayers for my intention at the shrine of Our Lady of Aparecida, and I hope that through her intercession you obtained many graces and blessings. I have felt your absence enormously dear, but even so, I am thankful. I am happy that you were able to make this excursion and are duly appreciating beautiful Rio, and truly regret that you cannot stay for a couple more days. We have had lots of rain and bitter cold, and I know that there as well as the temperature has fallen and it had rained, and I am sorry you will not remember Rio as a green and blue city, which it is when the weather is stable. Did you visit your Aunt Sina, Father Luis, and Mary? I am asking you so many things that I hope, God willing, to have the pleasure of hearing about it all from you personally the day after tomorrow. Is that not so? As always, I have prayed much for you, but all the same, I recommend once again much discretion, my pin bench. My best regards to Monsignor Pedrosa and his brother. Greetings from all at home. With my blessing, I lovingly send you my many kisses and hugs from your devoted mama, Lucilia. Note, for your good and happy guidance, be sure to follow the counsels and observations of your good godfather. That same day, the 17th, Plinio mailed a second letter to his mother, detailing other impressions of Rio de Janeiro. Most beloved Myzenia, I spent a most agreeable and memorable day. I went in the morning to the National Library, where I observed admirable organization and a truly impressive collection of old books. I admired, among other bibliographic jewels, the first edition of the Lusiadas and a Bible from 1480 or 90 or so. After an excellent lunch at the Haymi, I went by car to Imprensa Cave. It is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen by way of landscapes. I then went for a long, extremely long, but most pleasant meeting of illustrious Catholics. I dined marvelously and went to visit cousin Father Luis. I found him very well, but aged. He was very kind to me. I then went for a stroll on Central Avenue, and I am now back at about midnight after an apricot ice cream at the sidewalk confectionery. How is my dear Myzenia, whom I miss so much? Greetings to all, and one septillion kisses from the son, who with the tenderest respect request your blessing. Pigeon. Plinio made this trip to Rio a few months before the old republic was overthrown. Donna Lucilia could never have imagined that a coup was being prepared against the nation, aiming to implant a revolutionary state to destroy the old elites and traditions. A revolution rocks Brazil. The profound alterations in mentalities and customs that shook the world in that historical context were followed by political revolutions. However, while in some countries revolutionary minorities provoked bloodbaths in vast and laid-back Brazil, the reluctance to fight almost always overcame the desire to win. In most instances, political maneuvering averted confrontations whose consequences could have been tragic. Until 1930, Brazil had been governed by a conservative regime, rurally based and with aristocratic traits, but which affirmed doctrinal adherence to a representative liberal democracy founded on universal suffrage. The contradiction between its doctrinal inspiration and its political practice was notorious. History termed this regime the First Brazilian Republic. In Brazil, a wave of protests came from various sectors of society, agitating for a political practice consistent with the government's doctrinal inspiration. In the wake of the intense public stir that this generated, the Liberal Alliance overthrew the First Republic in the Revolution of 1930. Dona Lucília, a lady of conservative habits and convictions, naturally viewed the various upheavals and rebellions that marked the end of one Brazil and the beginning of another with much unease. If it were a crusade, I would be the first to send Plinio to battle. Dr. Gabriel, until recently the Secretary of Agriculture for the state of São Paulo, once arrived at Dona Gabriela's home, justifiably alarmed by the grave news coming in from across the country. During lunch, Dona Lucília and her brother had a revealing dialogue. Dr. Gabriel, in a good naturedly provocative tone, told her that Plinio should start preparing for military mobilization because the state government would soon be recruiting all young men. Dona Lucília, however, was in no way conformed to seeing her son sent off to a war not waged in defense of religion or a threatened country, but concocted by a laicist Republican political bloc. She responded to her brother with her characteristic affable firmness. Plinio will not go. To test his sister a little and see how far she would take her religious ardor, Dr. Gabriel countered, you won't allow him to go in this case. But if it were a religious war, a crusade, you would send him to the front lines. To which she immediately and energetically replied, that is correct. If it were a crusade, I would be the first to send Plinio to battle, and he would be the first to confront the enemy. Anyone who did not know her well would never have suspected that such a doting mother would be so willingly to joyfully sacrifice her son for the church. God demands hope from those to whom he gives faith. At the moment when the armed military coup of 1930 broke out, Plinio was spending a few days with cousins on a ranch in Campos do Jordão. Dona Lucília was deeply concerned for her son's safekeeping, there being persistent rumors of a general mobilization of young men of military age to fight the rebel troops. As soon as he could, Plinio sent her a letter overflowing with filial love, in which he described the splendid ranch where he had been given a royal welcome and asked her not to worry about his well-being or his health. My dearest Myzenia, I did not miss everyone so much, especially you, and did not fear that your pessimism might be harming your health. I would feel perfectly well on this most beautiful and comfortable ranch. The vistas are spectacular. It truly gives one the impression of being in Tyrolean setting. All the landscapes here have the same appeal that is found in European nature. I never thought it would be as stupendous as all of this. The house is a traditional Brazilian dwelling, over 100 years old, It has enormous locks with colossal keys, which is very interesting. The accommodations are perfectly managed, with electricity, running water, and every possible comfort. We even take hot baths. I did not write sooner because communications with the village are very difficult. The town of Capivari is an hour away. The wilderness here is dense, and we have taken some morning strolls. Therefore, I will write you only once or twice a week. Andre has shown us perfect kindness. He has treated us with extreme solicitude and the greatest courtesy. The food is excellent, and we have eaten with an extraordinary appetite. I have already cut into a suckling pig and a kid. I am ruddier than ever. The weather has been excellent and very mild. For your greater peace of mind, I declare that I have been absolutely prudent in the care of my health. I have cautiously observed the interval between bathing and eating. Tell this to Rosé, and have avoided drafts, etc., etc., and have even refrained from rocking in chairs that are not rocking chairs. This rest will be superb for my mind. I have not done any reading yet, taking advantage of the chance to rest well. After saying that he had received Holy Communion for her intentions in Pindamonhangaba and asking for news of the family, Plinio gives Donna Lucilia some filial advice for the turbulent times. Let's talk about you now. I hope you have all the religious spirit needed in the present circumstances. Hope is a virtue that flows from faith. God demands hope from those to whom he gives faith. Therefore, trust in God, because not a single hair falls from our head without his consent. This being so, what do we have to fear when we are protected by a God of infinite power and mercy? You, who like so much to orient yourself by Grandpa Ribeiro's principles, should remember the great confidence he had in God to the point of giving his last $2,000 to a beggar, certain that he would lack nothing so long as he did not lack the grace of God. And you, who, unlike he did, frequent the sacraments, must have a much greater confidence in God. Receive Holy Communion assiduously, but without harm to your health, and pray much to Our Lady. The rest will take care of itself. I send most affectionate hugs and blessings to Papa, Rosé, Grandma, and Maria Alice. To Antonio, a strong and fraternal hug. To Aunt Yaya, Uncle Adolfo, Dora, and Adolfino, may hugs and saudades. The same to the rest of the family. To you, finally, my whole heart, all my affection, all my tenderness, and all my respect. Bless the son who loves you so much. My companions ask that if someone is coming this way, that their houses be called, in case they want something to be sent. Plinio soon wrote to his mother again, repeating the suggestion of his previous missive, in a filial and respectful tone. My beloved Maizinha, I am writing this to send you a most affectionate kiss and to ask you to remember that you are a Catholic and that God's protection will never fail you. I received communion here today and prayed much for you and our whole family. Jesus will heed me. Take good care of your liver. Tell Rosé, to whom I send a tender kiss, not to forget my request. She knows what I refer to. I send Papa and Rosé most affectionate kisses, the same to Grandma and Maria Alice. To you, my dear, my whole heart, see you soon. Bless your son. Donna Lucilia's apprehension surfaces in another letter, one that she wrote to Plinio at this time, telling him of her countless prayers, beseeching God to preserve him from all danger. São Paulo, October 13, 1930. Beloved son, I hope in God that you are in good health, and in his name I ask you to employ utmost care and prudent in avoiding any and every illness or accident. My liver is doing better than could be expected, and as for my health, do not worry, because everything is as usual. Fortunately, your grandmother is on the mend. Maria Alice still has a mild cough, but is already better and prays for you daily. And I do too, all day long, with rosaries, chaplets, litanies, and novenas, etc. I have already requested prayers from the nuns of Luz Convent, who sent me some 4 or 6 pebbles from Friar Galvao's tomb that I would like to send to you so that you could always keep them with you, to cure or protect you and from diseases and dangers. I will also request prayers from the nuns of Perdices, and every day I ask for a candle to be lit in front of Saint Expedit. I have made promises to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, to Our Lady Help of Christians, Saint Therese of the Child Jesus, and to Saint Louis, your protector. May God hastily grant the return of peace. We will remain in the capital, for I believe that nothing will happen here. Your father, the siblings, and your uncle's people send hugs. Beside myself with saudades, I hug you, kiss you again and again, and cover you with blessings. From your very devoted mother, Lou. I do not cease praying for you, and only feel at ease when I do so, and much. Because of a failure in the mail service during those turbulent days, Donna Lucilia was unable to send her son the letter transcribed above. In the meantime, Plinia's first letter from the ranch was hand-delivered to her. On October 16th, her heart filled with yearnings, she added these fervent words to those above. Not having been able to send this letter the day I wrote it, I write you again here. I read your letter with great pleasure and emotion. I always keep it on hand to reread whenever I am beset by immense saudades. My son, I ask you once again to make the effort to do plenty of walking, because in these times I fear that you may be obliged to make long hikes without any training, which will be doubly painful. I do not cease praying for you, and only feel at ease when I do so, and much. Dalmacia and Dalmacita were here and are in good health. Salve Maria.